This show is sponsored by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of all of their great supplements like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport. It's code word church to get 10% off. Show is also brought to you by HitE6.com. That's Hit letter E6.com. Better tasting, longer lasting, the proof is in the vape. They have e-cigarettes and e-cigars for you. When you use code word Joey's Church, you're going to get 20% off of your order. Show is also brought to you by IronDragonTV.com. What is Iron Dragon TV? Iron Dragon TV is a brand new Roku channel with all of your favorite martial arts movies like the Ip Man series. Starting in the new year, they're going to have 4K technology. They're going to have stuff for your tablet. They're awesome. Use code word Joey to get two free rentals. And for the premier vapor pen on the market, for all the oil and wax smokers out there, go to nailedatlife.com. That's nailedatlife.com and use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off your order.
Oh shit, you fucking savages. Monday, December 15th. 10 more days to fucking Christmas. Get your shit together. The church of what's happening now with the King of the Jews, Lee Syatt. What? This is a great idea tonight from one of the fucking guys on Twitter. I forgot all about this little jam jizzy. But it's the church, that's why we're bringing it to you motherfuckers. High and full effect. December, fuck Santa Claus. It's the beginning of Hanukkah, motherfuckers. Kick it, Lee. Are you fucking kidding me or what? Break out the fucking heroin. It's over.
Do you plan what drugs to do for like a certain type of song? Do you ask
There's
it to
only one drug you could do to this song. That's a stick of fucking dynamite or something. Or like gunpowder, mix it with coke like they did in that movie. What's up? Monday, beautiful day to be alive. We're here. Lee Syatt, Uncle Joey, old school in it tonight. Fuck the guests. Pooey, you cocksucker. We're going straight up tonight. Old school. Check in with you guys. It's been a while. We've had a lot of great guests from Sarah Tiana to Rich Franklin to Joe Rogan to Gabriel to Ralphie.
You're
a lot of
way
bad
back.
Motherfuckers.
Do you see what Gabriel's doing?
What's
like
he doing?
A week in one theater in Chicago did like 20,000 seats.
Oh, please.
This week?
He fucking kills America. Then he comes here. He does three nights somewhere in Anaheim and then two nights. And then he's off for fucking New Year's and it's over. If I get out of work early tomorrow, we'll go to his Christmas party.
Oh,
if I get out of work early. I don't know what time I got. It's supposed to rain here. In L.A., if you guys don't know, when it rains in L.A., everything goes fucking kabang. So if you got to leave for work and be there at 8, you usually leave at 7, you got to leave at like 5:45 tomorrow. I wish I was lying to you fucking guys. It's the sad truth. They fall the fuck apart. When you live in Colorado and it snows, it's amazing how it didn't affect them at all. Like, snow was just another day for those people. Like, it snowed a foot. People still on time at work. You know, when you live in New York, when I lived in New York back in the 80s and it would snow, the city would shut down. This is a huge metropolitan city with so many things available to it. Excuse me. And the city would shut down. Then a small town like Aspen, Colorado, it snows a foot and it's gone in 2 fucking hours.
My mom calls me a wimp now. She called me wimp the whole week because I said it was like cold, it was chilly, it was like 55 degrees. And she's coming from Boston. She's like, you're such a wimp now.
Oh, no, it was cold in the fucking mornings. Listen, you're talking to a guy that used to fucking bathe in this 40 degrees. Now, I get out of the shower and I yell at my wife when I'm putting the heat on. Like, take the fuck. She puts it on for a little while and she turns it off. She goes, it gets too hot in here too quick. But if you turn it off, when I come out of the shower, it's freezing. I like opening the door and that bust of heat hits you and it dries you off to the last couple spots you haven't, fucking dried off. But it gets, you're not used to the weather. You're not used to the cold weather no more. But last week we had rain Friday.
We had rain a few days last week.
But last week the big storm was Friday. And that was the day for some reason I didn't have to be at work till 7, but I got up like at 4:30. because in my sleep, I was worried about the rain. And
yeah.
They said they're going to call work for the movie the next day, and they pushed it back, but we still worked, and it cleared up. But they were scaring fucking white people. Scaring them. Don't go to work. The 91 is backed up. You know how long it took me to get to Simi Valley? 20 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
With the rain. I got the Subaru. I kicked that motherfucker. Well, it's always four-wheel drive. And if it hits a puddle, the other tire picks it up. That's how the Subaru engineering works. It just picks it up where a tire, if it hydroplanes or something. I got to the fucking set in 20 minutes. I couldn't believe it. They were scaring fucking Gentiles to death on TV.
We don't think we talked about it. Why did you decide not to get like a Cadillac?
I've never been big. I don't like how in L.A. everybody judges you by your car.
Yeah.
It really bothers the fuck out of me.
I was telling my mom, a lot of people here have like Porsches and
BMW
and studio apartments.
Everybody has a Series 3 BMW here.
Yeah.
You know, if you see anybody in the industry, a junior agent, and then as they get there for a while, they get a 5 Series. Listen, I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm here to impress myself, you know? I like the Subaru. I like feeling safe. I like knowing that if it rains, I could think that a Cadillac's a great car and whatever, but I can't pay $300 to $400 a month and not sleep at night if something does break down. I've always had great success with Subarus and Toyotas. Why would I want to change it now at this point?
Yeah.
If I start making an abundance of fucking money, yeah, my second car would be a Cadillac or something. But then I'm going to have a family, so I can't be selfish. It'd have to be like, you know what I'm saying.
Plus, with your daughter, you don't want to have like messes in the back of a Cadillac, I guess.
Listen, she could do whatever the fuck she wants. As long as I pay for the car, it's my fucking car, you know. And they're going to throw apples on. Kids are going to be kids.
Yeah.
I went to the park with Saturday, and there was a soccer thing going on, a soccer camp. And it was kids her age, a little older. Some kids knew what the fuck was going on. The other kids were just Ubats. They were just there out in the sun, walking around, half fucked up. There was a camp for like 2-year-olds and one for like 4-year-olds. And I'm walking around, I'm watching those 2-year-olds, because I could see if I could put her in here, and my wife and her are battling. I'm like, what's going on? She goes, she wants to go down. I go, then let her fucking go down there. I go, you're going to sit there and battle with her, and you got to pick your battles with these kids. She's going to run down there anyway. She's going to walk around, touch the net, touch the ball, and then she's going to walk away from those kids. No, she's not. I picked her up, walked her down. That's exactly what she did. She kicked the ball. She saw 20 kids. She looked around. She goes, I don't need this shit. I'm going to do it myself. She walked away. But we signed her up.
Oh, that's cool.
She's going on next Saturday at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Even though she might not like it, she'll like it. It's kicking a ball. It's running around, falling in leaves. They got 2 coaches there. They coach you. They tell you what to do. You know, she's mingling. This is what they're supposed to do so they grow up with fucking social skills. You know, you got to wonder all this shit. They talk about cops and all this. You know, when I was growing up, cops were more involved with you in the next neighborhood. There was the same cop patrolling the same neighborhood. He got to know you. If something went on, he came and saw you. You talked to him. He asked you questions. And now you have all these complaints of cops and aggressive behavior,
excessive force, yeah.
Excessive force, whatever the fuck they want to call it. And it's because maybe they don't have the right social skills. We do live in a computer generation.
Yeah.
We're very computer generated. We're not used to dealing with people. We leave the house scared. If you watch the news, everybody is fucking fearful. You know, one good thing about the church, I was thinking about this. When I first got into the church, when I got into Beauty and the Beast or the church, it wasn't to expose Bigfoot. It wasn't to expose steroids. It wasn't to expose Hollywood people that are gay. It wasn't to expose anything. It was to expose life's bullshit that we get fed, and either you believe it or you fucking don't and move on, you know? And
do you get nervous, Blo? Because I went to the movies with my mom today, and for a second, when they were doing that thing, like if you see any suspicious people, tell somebody. For a second, I was like, what would I do if a gunman came in here and I'm here with my mom? When I'm by myself, I don't really worry about it. But, like, do you worry about it now when you're going out with Mercy and stuff?
I worry about everything and everything. And you'd be an asshole if you wouldn't. You'd be an asshole if you wouldn't. Every day you go on Twitter and there's an explosion somewhere, 14 people got killed.
That guy in Australia.
The guy in Australia. Every fucking day, people. You get up every morning, and if you have a half a heartbeat, and you weren't an asshole like I am, that we actually look at that shit to start your morning. We actually look at that shit to start your morning. Because I do. I'm guilty of it. All right, I won't put the fucking news on, and I won't hear it visually. But while I'm streaming on Google or whatever the fuck my first page is, Yahoo, you see what happens. You know, 14 children get killed in Africa. Whatever the fuck, you know. And it stays with you throughout the day. I'm not the type of guy that would blame police officers for anything. I know what life is on both sides of the shield. I've seen cops that are stressed out, and I've seen people that are stressed out that just have a bad day. I know one thing about life, Lee. People have bad days. You know, there's a guy, did you see that? He killed his wife, put in the trunk of the car, and then took the three kids.
Oh, Jesus,
and
no.
And they showed his picture. He's all cracked up and shit. I mean, I don't know a bad day for that. No. I know that there's bad days that people just leave the house and they have a weapon and they get out of a car and the cops, you know. There's bad days.
Did you ever fight with the cops? I know you dealt with them a few times, but no.
I couldn't file a complaint against a police officer because every time I've had contact with a police officer, I've always pretty much been a gentleman. When I was a kid, I got hit one time by a cop with a stick. In a big melee. I was a young kid, like maybe in the 7th grade.
Really? I never heard of this.
It was the night that we felt up that chick's titties and shit after that basketball game. There was a fight first on the thing, and a cop hit me, and I didn't know who it was, and I wasn't mad at him. I could have been an asshole and made a big drama, because I always thought from his side of the fucking thing. This is a guy that's just telling us to go, and you get hit with a stick. But I've never been ever assaulted before. I've always had good relationships with cops. Like, when they've arrested me, I've been cool. Because they're just doing your job. All your job is to shut your fucking mouth. And don't argue with them and don't tell them that this is what really happened. Don't say a fucking word. That's the best thing you could do. Yes, no, thank you. The handcuffs hurt. They don't fucking hurt. But for me to sit here and say pigs suck and all that, I can be that type of guy. I never have been. They did a job when they arrested me, and they did the best job they could. I can't lie to you. I've never really had...
Yeah. Because I go back and forth sometimes. Like, should I be protesting? Like, I don't know. Like, is this an important thing to be doing? But I...
Have you ever protested before?
No. I just...
What are you going to do? You're going to get a stick with a fucking sign and walk down there?
You would kill me if you saw me with a stick.
I lived in Boulder. And I saw protesters from the CIA would come to town, and they come to recruit on campus. I don't know if they recruited or they took applications or they spoke to applicants or whatever the fuck. And there was always little wars on there, and these kids would go down there. And then I figured out who these kids were, that, you know, they were trust fund kids that just wanted to get some form of attention, and I got it, you know. And unless you really believe, look, like I just... It's not that I don't like protesters and what they stand for. Is I think that sometimes people are down there protesting and they don't even know what they're protesting for.
Right.
They're just protesting to make friends. It was like that thing I always made fun of. That thing that happened downtown years ago.
Some of the Wall Street, something.
Yeah. The people who were going to shut down the corporations, but meanwhile they're calling their mommies on the iPhone. You know, making videos and sending tweets out. You're not shutting nobody down. This is what... A complete shutdown is throwing all that shit away. You can't stand online on Apple for your fucking phone and all that.
Yeah.
But you were onto something very interesting, and that was the cop thing. No, Lee, I always knew they had a job. When I was a kid, I was exposed to cops that came in once a week, got an envelope, and that was whether it was the bookie place in the Bronx. For a long time, when I went to Catholic school on Saturdays, I helped out this other bookie, Chael. And they always had a relationship with cops, and it was a known thing that, listen, we're going to do this for business. Nobody's getting hurt. Nobody's getting bit slapped. We're not selling drugs here. Here's an envelope just to make sure everybody knows we're on the legit side. Some people would judge me and say that's a wrong. You could never pay.
So that's not from the movies. Like, they would actually do that. They'd actually have cops. Do you consider them dirty cops?
Well, there's fucking jerk-offs, and there's gentlemen. And that's in every fucking business.
Yeah.
There's jerk-offs and there's gentlemen. There's guys that come in and go, Lee, how you doing? My name is Detective whatever. This is great that you have a new bar here and everything's fine here. But from 12 to 5, a kid works here, Joey Diaz. And he's a known felon. And I know he takes book here. And I know that if somebody wants to get a gun or maybe a kilo of coke, he could arrange it for him. We could shut you down right now. I could call the ABC and shut you down for employing this guy. But I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send somebody in here once a week. You're going to give them an envelope. Let's say, what do you pull out of here a week? Let's say in real life, Lee, you pull out $13,000. They're going to say $10,000. And you're going to go, okay, all right, he got me. Every week we want $400 a week. All right, that's one cop who comes in, shakes you down. This is the old days. I don't know what happens today. This is when my mother had the bar. You're never going to see that guy again.
Okay. But
every week a patrol guy is going to come in.
So let's say that guy came in.
Now, then there's going to be, that's a sheriff.
Okay.
Then a city cop's going to come in.
Oh, no.
And he's going to want $200, and you're going to agree to that. Because if your alarm goes off, they're going to be there. If you shoot somebody in the bar, they're going to be there and clean it up first. What happened here? This guy pulled the gun. Lee, you sure? Yeah. Put a fake gun in his hand. Boom. Call the cops. You paid. Now what's going to happen is, but every once in a while those guys go, they retire, and you got a young guy who thinks he's slick. And he'll come in one night and throw a beating on Lee. And then say how he wants this much money. And then come in there once a month, get a couple drinks on the house, embarrass my mom, and embarrass the customers. What the fuck do you do? You go to the other guys and you talk to him and you move him. You got cops like that. In the 60s and 70s, something would always happen with those fucking cops.
Really?
Yeah, when I was a kid, something would always happen with those cops because you had people that just wanted to do business. And they wanted to keep it low-key. They just wanted to put their kids through college. And they'd help you out. They really did help you out. Like I said, if somebody broke your glass, they were there first. They'd have somebody there to board up your glass. If your alarm went off and some hump down the corner's alarm went off, they came to your alarm. Some people at home disagreeing with me now. But I'm telling you what I saw as a young man, where the etiquette was in the 60s and the 70s.
Did you ever see like a business say no? Or did your mom ever say no?
I know that there were some businesses that probably said no. I don't know what happened to them, whatever. I know that also if the ABC was out checking IDs or whatever, these city cops came in and told you their schedule. Also, if the DEA was in town shaking down Spanish bars, these city cops told you your schedule.
Oh.
When the DEA comes to town, they have to stay at a hotel. They don't stay at a, they stay at a fancy hotel and they put it under the DEA credit card. People at the hotel that work at the hotel get the word out. The DEA is in town. That's it. Everybody knows to close up shop, to slow down a little bit. These cops would help you out. So if somebody was watching your bar, they'd tell you somebody's watching your bar. This is full-time coverage. I don't know how it is now. There's drugs involved. There's crack involved. There's weapons involved. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm away from that.
I don't know how to think because in movies, those cops are always like the bad cops. They're always crooked and but the way you describe it, cops don't make that much money. And
everybody in life gets jaded at their job.
Yeah.
Some people are listening to this right now going, Joey, I would want you to hear the other side of this. No matter what type of job you do, you're a working fucking stiff till the end. I'm a working stiff. Lee would have been a working stiff as an editor. You know, you would have got promoted finally as an editor. And you're still 28. And when do you retire?
65.
So unless you open up your own business, you're a fucking working stiff.
For 40 years, yeah.
So for 40 years, you're a working stiff, okay? Now, I don't know if this becomes the same for cops. I'm going to break it down for you guys. Everybody here at some point at 38 goes, what the fuck am I doing? I just saw a bill by mistake. They pay me $15 an hour. They charge $55 for me. And I'm only getting $15. And yet, $15 goes to insurance and state taxes. But they're still getting $25 from me for labor-wise. I'm making $15 an hour, and this is what I'll do till I'm fucking 65. You know, whatever. Everybody gets jaded at their work. Somebody gets a promotion. You find out some idiot makes more than you. You know, my wife is a fucking hard worker. My wife doesn't believe in theft. When she was a waitress, and you know, she didn't want to work at the store no more. Then she went to fucking Starbucks. I would talk to my wife. My wife is such a Gentile. She doesn't believe in theft. Everything is by the fucking penny. You know, the other day she found that the chiropractor clipped us for $65. She goes, I read somewhere that all medical bills are off. They're all wrong. You should go through them. I was off of my insurance. She went through all my bills, found out that I was over. Called my insurance, got my insurance bumped to level one. My wife is a fucking hawk when it comes to this. She worked. Boom, she got pregnant one day. 10 years on the job. They paid for a pregnancy. She wasn't doing nothing. She fucking was a Slim Jim Magoo. That bitch cried for a week, but she went to work after 8 weeks. She went to work and she drove home with her tits leaking, you know, from the milk, and she'd feed Mercy, and, you know, I would see the anguish in her face, and I pleaded with her to quit. She told me she couldn't quit. And about 3 weeks later, she came home one day, and she said that they gave her a raise. They gave her, like, a 1.3% raise. And she was never so embarrassed in her life that she's outworked three of the fucking people. And then they took the girl that's the baby's godmother, and she had been there for 10, 12 years, 15 years, and instead of hiring her, they got somebody from the outside. And she started thinking about how, you know, these people really don't give a fuck. That's why I got into comedy and blah, blah, blah. And she, I was very smart, and that was part of it. I was jaded. I didn't want to work for people no more. I was sick and tired. I didn't want to be there 9 to 5, you know? And I saw my wife get jaded, and she goes, I'm quitting. Then she didn't do it for like 2 months, and then she started going back part-time. After 3 days, she came home and she goes, I can't do it no more. I hate those fucking people. Same thing happens when you're a cop. Same thing happens when you truly believe in your heart that you're helping people. You really believe in your heart that you're helping people. And all of a sudden, you help somebody, you call an ambulance, and they get up and try to shoot you. You go to these houses, these people don't give a fuck about you because you're a cop. You're always the enemy, no matter what they tell you. I grew up believing in police officers. I really did. I grew up believing, and I still do.
Even as a criminal?
I still believe in police officers. I still believe that they do good. But then again, you're going to get guys that are jaded. And then since they work long hours, they get jaded in their personal lives. Their wives leave them. You know, most of these cops have a few marriages. They get drunk. They don't tell. I can't come home and tell you. I come home at night. What'd you do today? I shot a movie with Dean Cain. What'd you guys do? Well, today's, we got chased by a dog. We ran up the stairs and chased the dog, and then we ran down and they chased us. Then there's another scene where he puts a string out and we both jump over and we both fall. I can't tell my wife that I saved a kid in the dumpster today. And the kid was half burnt. And this is an arson. I tend to do drugs. Arson, I arrest somebody one day and they have 3 baggies of meth, but I only turn in 2 of them. And I do a little bit of it. You know, God knows what an officer's mind is thinking.
Yeah.
I'm not sticking up for the guy who shot the 12-year-old in Cleveland.
No.
I'm not sticking up for Hands Up. I'm not sticking up for Ferguson. I'm just telling you that before we accuse, we have to think of both sides about it. And I hate to get into these conversations because there'll always be critics of this, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's fucking true. I was on both sides, and I was very lucky. I never drew on a cop.
You never took a gun out?
I was never that fucking crazy.
Right.
I didn't have that much of a death wish. For years, I thought I did, but I really didn't. And a lot of fucked-up shit could happen. I drive home on the 10. I drive home on the 101, Lee. So do you. How many times you go to fucking Compton? You're a white kid in Compton, right? For a year, you drove to fucking a bad neighborhood. You're coming home one night, they say, pull this guy over. He's here for drug activity.
Yeah?
They pull you out of a fucking car. Where's the drugs? I'm not here for drugs. They smack you. When you go home, how are you going to feel about the cops?
Yeah, you're going to hate them.
You're going to still feel, believe, not hate them, but you're going to believe in them anymore? Are you ever going to down? You know, it's just, we get jaded in so many different fucking levels, Lee.
Yeah.
So.
I just had a cousin who had to quit being a social worker, because he'd done it for like 2 years, and he was just like, I can't do it anymore. Every week there's a new kid who gets beat up, or it was terrible.
I mean, all you could do is live your life the right way.
Yeah.
And pray to God you never get accused of something wrongly. And pray to God you're not at the wrong place at the wrong fucking time.
Right.
You know.
So how's the movie going, by the way?
The movie is... First off, I didn't want to do this fucking movie. I had the worst attitude about it. Because what they do is they do SAG low budget movies. They give you a little taste of the back end. And you get limited visibility. You go on ABC Family or ION or something like that, you know. The first one, I gave my blood on this. I fell down. That was the beginnings of my pains when I started hurting my knee and shit. First one, if you watch it, I'm 400 pounds.
Oh, no.
Easy. And I'm falling on the floor. I'm running upstairs. And then, like, the second and third one, you know, we were talking about something the other day. I don't like doing a lot of shit. Once I do it a few times, I move on, you know, and I always thought I wanted to move on from this. When they called this time, I had a date in Chicago, but I had another movie that had called. And they ended up pushing that back to March or something. So I got stuck with this, you know. I didn't want to do it, and they were fucked. They'd been great the whole time. One day, the air conditioning broke on the trailer the second day. But besides that, this is what I do, Lee. And I enjoy breaking my year up. I'm very fortunate that I don't have to go on the road every week and I carry my fucking luggage and be in Philly right now, you know, or be in some place that's going to get snow and be get caught there on Sunday. I've worked for that, you know, and I like that. I get lucky from time to time and somebody calls me and for a week, I just avoid doing stand-up. I don't even think about it.
You don't miss it?
No, I went on stage Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't have to. Sure, I miss it. But it's great to know I don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That for a week I could just go home and go to sleep and just do this movie.
Do you think maybe your stand-up would get better from like taking a little bit of time off?
Everything needs a week off.
Yeah.
Everything always could use a week off from time to time. I'm not saying all the fucking time. But everything, you know, it was, I got on stage Friday night in Vegas. Saturday I went to the fights. I started the movie Monday. So I didn't get on stage all week till Saturday. And my set was a disaster Saturday night.
What happened?
At the Long Beach. It just wasn't, you know, I just wasn't, I caught on a little bit and I threw some heat at them, but I had lost them and that was it. But I enjoyed doing it. This week I'm at the store tomorrow night, probably.
Okay.
I'm at the store Thursday night. Wednesday we're at the Laugh Factory. Saturday I'm at the store. So, I like doing everything. I like that. We were talking about doing the podcast 5 days a week.
Yeah.
It's the law of diminishing returns for me.
I don't think it'd be good.
Because I think after 6 weeks, I would start to diminish. First of all, by Thursday, the podcast would go off a little bit. Friday, we'd just be fucking calling through the shots. And I think that after 6 weeks of doing it 5 days a week, I think even Mondays would start being pitiful. That's why I have never attempted, and I wouldn't want to. If somebody came at us and threw a bunch of money and said, do it 5 days a week, I'd have to get some other help or another writer. I know that I could only fulfill 2 days of that. I don't want to talk any more than that. I really don't want to go 2.5 hours, fucking hours than that. So it's the law of diminishing returns and everything, especially for me. I know that. We could do 2 regular ones and a sport one and call it something else. I'd rather just do it the way we're doing it. I have a good time.
I end up missing it. Like, Saturday?
Sure. That's why I called you for yesterday. I was a little high last night.
You were very high last night.
Oh, my God.
And I couldn't even tell. You hit it well.
It was just one of those. All right, so Saturday, I worked Saturday. I was supposed to go to Felipe's wedding for you people asking. I never made the fucking wedding. I heard the wedding was spectacular.
You had leftover vegan food?
No. Tupperware vegan cake? You know, we got that rain Friday, so it pushed us back. So we only got to shoot 2 scenes, but we needed this scene because we had this one mall only till Saturday morning. So we had to shoot that. I didn't get out of work till maybe 7:40 on Saturday night. I didn't get home till 8:15. By that time, the baby was in the bathtub. My wife already had her pajamas on. I felt bad for my wife. I felt bad for 2 people in this. I felt really bad for my wife because she really wanted to go as a couple, and I felt bad for Felipe. I'm kind of embarrassed. I called Felipe Friday, and I told him that we got to work. I got him his French press coffee machine that he wanted, but I felt really bad. But I wish him the best, him and Lisa.
Yeah.
The best, you know, their fucking family. Felipe's done a lot for me in the last 15 years.
Yeah. So what happened with the Auntie Dolores?
All right, so Saturday I did that, right? Now, we got the Auntie Dolores package about a week ago, and everything has been yummy for your tummy. Everything. Those fucking cocoa chips were some of the strongest shit I eat.
Well, the 30 each.
I was high from Sunday night to Wednesday morning last week. I wish I was lying to you.
Off of, you didn't have it just once. You had it a few times.
No, I just kept eating them. They were little circles of death. They were hard cocoa, vegan, gluten-free, just fucked you up. They were 30 milligrams, but they just fucked you up, people. Lee ate three of them the first night.
Yeah.
And he left here. His eyeballs were spinning in his fucking head. They were tremendous. I ate them Sunday, and I must have ate Sunday night. I can't lie to you, people. I must have ate 10 of those fucking things.
In what time period?
3 hours, 4 hours. I just was three popping them. Milligrams. I thought they were 10 milligrams apiece, Lee. I thought they were 10 milligrams a fucking piece. And next thing you know, I look at the bag the next morning.
Yeah, you tweet a picture 30, of it.
And I felt bad. I go, Lee ate fucking three of these. Ooh, he must have been on fucking fire.
And yes, I was.
So, all right, so I ate them till Wednesday. And Wednesday, I said, let me give him a breather. I think Tuesday, I popped a cheap at you and like four of those fucking things. I was blasting on that film site. Blasted, giggling to myself. Talking to the dog on the set. I tell you what, I didn't fuck up the craft service, though.
No?
Every day, let me tell you what my only cheat is.
What?
One piece of Twizzlers licorice.
That's it? That's not it. Even that bad.
No ice cream, no pudding, no nothing. I eat the chicken.
Okay.
Today I had the pasta with no meat and the salad.
That's nice.
You gotta try. If not, you're a fucking animal. It's not the best craft service anyway.
Right.
I've seen some craft services.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, you had lobster and Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2. If it was between Spider-Man 2 and The Longest Yard, it'd be close.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2 had three conference tables of snacks. Do you understand me? Like, three conference tables. Like, one table of just cold cuts, you know, every type of bread, peanut butter and jelly, mayonnaise, mustard, and there was a chick just stocking cold cuts, roast beef, Swiss cheese, ham. Salami, all different types of salami. There was one table with smoothies, and there was one table with chips, chocolate, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
This shit was crazy. They had a bucket with gallons of juice, and I would steal the pomegranate juice and put it in my bag and go to my trailer and come back and drink all the pomegranate juice on the table and mingle. Hi, how are you? Because 15 years ago, 10 years ago, pomegranate juice was before coconut water.
Fuck yeah.
Pomegranate juice was huge. It's huge. And I used to fucking drink it, but I was paying like $3 for a container for like 10 ounces. Also, I get the Spider-Man 2, and they got the gallon out. They got the half gallon.
I don't think I've even seen the gallon.
I was clipping. Half gallon. I'm sorry.
Half gallon.
I was clipping those things. I could see the lady was like sweating. Who the fuck is taking my pomegranate juice? Fuck
that's it. Hysterical. I found out something new you don't like. Why don't you like lamb? Lamb is delicious.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
My mom made lamb, and he was like, oh, you can have a lamb cocktail.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's delicious.
Lamb, goat, all that shit. There's only one thing I've ever eaten that I enjoyed, but I felt so guilty I never ate it again.
Veal?
Veal scallopini.
I love veal, too.
My main man, the devil, Mike Kessler, Boulder, that motherfucker used to whip up some veal scallopini paper thin.
What's scallopini? I know.
I have no fucking idea. I don't even ask. It's veal. I never want to eat it again. Somebody asked me why I ate. I didn't know what it was. I won't eat it again. I'm sorry, people.
I like veal. I like lamb, too.
Oh, lamb is always gamey. There's only one nationality that throws down the lamb.
So,
the Greeks.
Okay. How, you see, like, gyros?
No. Well, gyros, too. When I was on the run.
What?
When I was on the run in 82, when I did that jewelry store.
Oh, you went to Florida.
When I went to Florida, the family was Greek. The mother was really fucking Greek. And she'd take lamb and cut it into little cubes.
Okay.
And she'd put it in a tub and marinate it for 3 fucking days. Then she'd take that lamb and put it on a barbecue grill and burn them on a kebab, burn them, Lisa Ed. You little asshole would pucker up and make noises.
It already is.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I would make noises, and she'd make this tzatziki sauce or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd dip the lamb in there. It tasted like pot roast. It was just delicious, juicy. The reason why it wasn't gamey is because she marinated it for 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Do you follow me? The marination process was so delicious and so, you know, yum. But it's 3 days to take that gaminess away. Once I taste the game, it's lights out for me. I can't do it. So I get sick just fucking thinking about it.
So you're not like a buffalo?
No, you'll never see me an ostrich, deer, venison, nothing.
I've heard venison's good.
I heard it too. That's great. Eat it. Fart. You fucking stinky venison fart somewhere the fuck else. I don't want to smell that shit in any snake or form. I've had Cap's Brains.
Yeah.
You know, Cecil. And deep fried chicken, like a chicken cutlet.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my mother would cut brain thin and then dip it in egg batter and breadcrumbs and deep fry.
Did it freak you out seeing it?
I wouldn't see it.
The weirdest thing I've ever had is chicken hearts.
What'd you have it with?
It was like a grilled plate in Israel. I only had one because my friend got
it. What did it taste like?
Nothing too intense. I don't remember.
Nothing disgusting?
No, it wasn't disgusting. But I don't do oysters because they wriggle. I don't like it. I don't know. It feels like a bugger.
I'll do clams. We ate some clams at, what's the name of the joint you used to work at?
Legal Seafood.
Legal Seafood. Somebody was asking somebody else the other day, I'm going to Boston. Where's the best chow? And somebody says, I got to tell you, it's touristy, but I got to go down with Legal Seafood.
Fuck yeah.
And I thought so also. I like clams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like
on the half
oysters.
Shell?
Yeah, clams on the half shell with a little Tabasco, a little horseradish.
Yeah.
And a mug of fucking Heineken on tap with a frozen glass. Who's going to stop you? That's a big dick right there. You just fucking show up with a big dick and start sucking those fucking clams. It's tremendous. You just inhale them with some crackers and shit and some beer. There's nothing better than
that's
that.
That's your favorite?
Yeah, I like clams on a half shell with a little fried calamari. A couple of shrimp cocktails like a motherfucker.
I love shrimp cocktails.
Maybe a stuffed clam, like a clams oreganato.
Okay.
When I was a kid, there was a place in North Bergen on Tully Avenue. I used to have. I've never had them good again. I can't lie to you. People try to make like stuffed clams. They buy them from a supermarket and they put them in the oven and they burn them and they come with like that fucking shell from some polluted fucking ocean. They get like different sizes of the shells and they stuff that shit in there and they cook them. That's disgusting. With breadcrumbs, I'm over that shit. But there's some restaurants you go to that they get the clam and they bread and they put a little bacon on top, a little piece of garlic, and they bake it in the oven and you eat it just like that. It's fucking deliciously. I love all that stuff. You know I love all that stuff. A lot of people get pissed at me like, you haven't losing no weight? Lee's losing weight. You know what? I'm trying to fucking lose weight.
Yeah.
Next Monday, I'm going to a dietitian.
Oh, that's cool.
Through like my insurance. Yeah, nutritionist.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm going to go see what the problem is here.
You know what, man?
And I've been sticking to that fucking health plan.
My fitness plan? Yeah,
my fitness plan is great. I'm up to 103 consecutive fucking days.
I just messed mine up. I didn't do it for a day. But what happened? I forgot. I don't know. I think it was like
they send you an email.
I know.
They sent the other day happened to me when I was shooting this movie.
Yeah.
I ate breakfast and left.
The issue is like my mom was making stuff, so I didn't know what to put in. But when I went to Vegas that last weekend, that's really hard. Even when you try to eat healthy on the road, it's not as easy when you're at home. That must be the hardest part.
Listen, you go wake up for breakfast. Okay, for breakfast I went down and I had the two eggs with wheat toast, bacon, and fruit.
Yeah.
Okay, I had three slices of thin bacon.
Probably 500 calories. Yeah.
Which you put in the thing. I didn't eat the potatoes. No potatoes. I ate one piece of wheat toast instead of two.
Yeah.
And I had both eggs. Okay, just the egg yolks, you know me. Whatever it is, 60 an egg. That doesn't kill you. You drink it with water and you go up to your room. No juice because the juice gives you extra fucking calories. Correct or not correct?
I would imagine.
For lunch, I don't know what I had, but you could always go down and get some type of salad.
Yeah.
Whatever you throw into MyFitness ain't going to give you the right amount because those salads taste good because they put butter in those fucking things or something.
Yeah.
You know, when you make a salad at home, it tastes like ass. When you go out and have a salad, it tastes like fucking something from another planet.
Oh, that Caesar salad we had was great.
It's delicious. Oh, yeah. It was delicious. You know, I had the chicken. If you see, I was trying.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the steak at night. You know, it's not like I'm not trying here. I had the roasted chicken,
Is it a lot harder being a little bit older, like being 50? I was thinking about that today.
People always goof on you when you're a kid. They go, oh, wait till you get older and you giggle. I'll never be fat. Let me fucking tell you, it just slows down.
Yeah.
And you go on the treadmill,
mm-hmm.
and you. I'm really enjoying the bicycle. I went on the bicycle Saturday, and I did the 45-minute package, and I burned like 400 calories.
That's good.
And my knees felt great. And then Sunday I went down to Hegan's, and I rolled around with Dave for a while, and we did a couple things. But I've never, ever believed in paying a personal trainer.
It's a lot of money.
I didn't really like it. I didn't, you know, I learned how to lift as a kid and it works for me. I go online and I read and I look at YouTube videos and I make a survey of what you want to do. With the kettlebells, I went over to that school because I didn't want to get hurt. Mm-hmm. You always want to learn the proper form from somebody who knows. If not, I would have gone online like most people, but I knew if you get hurt, there's no coming back at this age. Why fuck around? At 50, I hurt my back. I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, so I said, no, let me go to Dave. So Dave was like a class atmosphere. When I started jiu-jitsu, there was weeks that I would miss stuff, and I would pay John Evan to teach me a little bit, and I would work with him on a one-on-one basis. I wouldn't roll with him because he always had a hurt back, and he weighs 170 pounds. So I wouldn't roll with him, so I didn't like the whole thing. If I pay you, I want to roll with you and sweat on you and whatever. But, and then a couple people reached out and wanted to help me out with this, and it's been great. I don't mind helping people out. But I gave Dave money at Hegan's to help me out. He called me and said he was going to do a special for the holidays, and I said, you know what? I'm helping him out, and I'll do him. I got to tell you something, it's the best investment I've made in myself in a long time because we do completely different shit.
Yeah.
He doesn't use weights or nothing, or doesn't make me run or jump. It's a lot of like hip exercises and stretching my shoulders out and fucking rolling around the floor and doing breathing exercises and kicking and then taking a ball. And yesterday he made me get up and sit down 10 times, get up and all the way to the bottom and get up without touching your hands to the floor.
Oh.
And then you take a 12-pound ball and get up and sit down 10 times. You have no fucking idea.
That sounds fucked
and
up.
Yeah.
And I feel like the fifth time.
I loved it. I love all that type of shit, you know. He stretched out my knee. He stretched out my shoulders. We work on that aspect of it. It's an hour and a half, sometimes close to 2 hours, you know. And it was a great Christmas gift to myself, you know. And I did that Sunday. I ate a salad at home, you know, which I fucking hate. I threw, you know, lettuce, tomato, that onions, a lot of onions, and a little can of tuna fish with some olive oil, mixed it in there. You know, I'm trying. It's not like I'm out eating ice cream, crying. Oh, I did this all fucking week. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
And on that movie, like I said, I've taken one Twizzler a day, and I eat it. It takes me like 5 minutes to eat. I bite a little bit, put it in my pocket. The other day, I found a little Twizzler in my pocket, like at 9 o'clock
That's
at night.
That's a good treat.
That's a good little fucking treat. And I think one fucking Twizzler.
Can't be much.
Don't really care.
I had sugar-free Reese's the other day. And they're pretty good, but I haven't had a Reese's in a while. So maybe it's not good. But to me,
sugar-free Reese's, peanut butter cups.
Yeah.
You know, Lee, you think that you need shit in this life.
Yeah.
When I went to Weight Watchers, I realized I didn't need shit no more. When you switch from regular soda, you know, from regular soda to diet soda. When you, instead of eating a bag of chips, you just eat the sandwich. And you go, wow, I really, and then sometimes you get a 6-inch. And you eat your 6-inch and run out of there. And as you're driving home, you go, wow, I didn't really need a foot long in those days. I did okay with a 6-inch. This is what you learn. You know, you just learn different things about yourself and what you need and what you don't need. Yeah. Before I got locked up, guys, you know, I got locked up when I was 24. Excuse me, I can't lie to you. I couldn't fucking do anything without smoking pot.
So, like, right when you wake up?
Lee, in those days, I had been trained from the age of 16. I didn't do anything. The people I hung out with for all those years didn't do anything without smoking a number. Like, I'd smoke a number on the way to the bus to go to high school. Then once I got to high school, I'd see a certain group of people. We're smoking one, let's go. And we'd smoke another one. Then we'd go back to school for a couple classes, get out of school, eat a slice of pizza, and bang out another 6 joints. Go home, do homework, meet again at 9, and smoke more dope. Do you understand the culture I came from?
Yeah.
And these weren't people that had long hair and mustaches and wore weed. These were guys that were just jocks and fucking some guys that were pretty good students and just... In general, you didn't have to, we didn't act that way. We just smoked fucking pot. So when I got out of North Bergen and I moved to Colorado and I'm surrounded by pot, I had the same thing. I'd get up in the morning and as soon as I got out of the shower, I didn't smoke cigarettes then.
Oh, sure.
No, it was just straight up reefer. I'd get out of the shower and I'd smoke my first bong hit. You know, people always say, oh, I saw you on the Doug Benson show. You fucking could smoke. It was because those years in Colorado, I was a young guy and I was getting already, my lungs were acclimated. And when I first got up there, first thing I did in Aspen was smoke a bong hit and I fainted. at some people's house over the Paragon restaurant. There was a restaurant called the Paragon. At that time, it belonged to Jimmy Buffett. I didn't know. I didn't go in. I was 19, maybe. It was 1983. I was maybe 20. Yeah, I was 20. So I didn't go to bars then. I just went up there, and there was an apartment over it. They knew the waitress who lived there, and we were up there smoking a bong, and I passed out. But after that, I got baffled by the fucking bong. I had never smoked a bong in New Jersey.
Really?
No, I had smoked joints or a pipe. None of these fucking savages had a bong. I never discovered a bong until I moved to Colorado in 83. So I went right out the next day and bought a bong and started doing fucking bong hits after bong hit. And I loved it. So I got act. I already was into it. I'd get up in the morning, I'd do 3 or 4 bong hits, get on the bus, go to work at lunchtime, smoke a joint. I'd bring a joint with me in a tube like I do here. And then at 5 o'clock before the bus, I'd smoke the other half, get off the bus, go shopping, get some salad, a steak. In those days, I'd pay for the salad, but I shoplift the steak. I had a pillowcase I used as a duffel bag.
Yeah?
And I would just put the steak in there, and they never caught me at this fucking grocery store. And I'd go home, and while I was cooking the steak, I'd take a shower and smoke another joint. And then we'd eat dinner, and we'd smoke another fucking joint. And then, like, before we went to bed, we smoked another joint. That was the culture I was raised in. So when all of a sudden I had to go to prison, Lee, I was like, oh, my fucking God. What am I going to tell the prison guards? I'm going to go nuts. And I remember, like, not smoking, like, all day and losing it, Lee. Like, by 6 o'clock, I'd want to fucking kill the people that were my roommates. Get the fuck away from me, you motherfuckers. I thought I wouldn't make it in jail. And it was hard for maybe a day and a half. And after that, like, I missed it, and I counted the days and shit. But you know what? I made it through. And that little situation right there let me know you could live without anything.
Yeah.
You know, way before.
No, it's weird. It's I learned it too. Like today, where I went to the movies, and I brought a can of soda, because I always, every time I go to the movies, and I get the big drinks, I never lose weight that day. Because you always get at least one and then half a refill.
Even if it's diet?
Yeah.
Really?
I think it's like the sodium. Yeah,
the sodium.
I really need to cut that out. But it's the last thing I have.
I'm really enjoying water and green tea.
I can't do tea.
I'm really enjoying the green tea. Dope it up, Lee. My wife makes iced tea, and I take the fucking tea. I don't even put sugar in it. I just put so much lemon, and I put ice cubes in it, and I shake it up.
Okay.
And it comes out like this fucking ice something with lemony. And I just drink it. That's okay. It. And it's not bad. But you won't know unless you try. And then you just start drinking it. And next thing you know, you're
doing
things.
But doesn't that have just the same amount of, like, the bad thing, aspartame or whatever?
What?
That, like,
you're not
that
putting
iced
sugar
tea?
In there.
Regular iced tea doesn't have it? Oh, okay.
No, just regular iced tea out of package.
Oh, unsweetened, okay.
Unsweetened, and you put some lemon, a lot of lemon in it, and put ice cubes. You dope it up, and you confuse yourself. And you shake it up with all that lemon, and you fucking drink something. It's not that badly. And you move on. That soda, hey, listen, you know, when we first started the show, we would put down 2 sodas each every morning.
Yeah.
I don't do that at all no more. I'm very proud that and it wasn't that I did it. I didn't figure it out. It was the people that watched the show.
Yeah.
That I'd get home and they'd send me emails, Joey, you're drinking 2 cans of soda at 6 in the fucking morning. And it's true. I got off the soda, I lost 12 pounds right away.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, please, just do the water. And it's tough, hey. Listen, when I was 26, they told me to get off water or to go on water, tell them to suck my dick. I was having a good old time with fucking iced teas. I used to go to Jack in the Box before I went to prison.
Yeah.
And I get the seafood and crab salad, all bullshit.
Oh, God.
With the package sweetened that they give you, it was 1,000 calories. Any salad you get out of the house that tastes that good, you're eating something that's a fugazi.
Because of the dressing?
It's the only salad I got fat off of.
Really?
I got fat as fuck. And I get the iced tea, and in those days, fat fuck for me was 210.
Oh.
I'm 100 pounds more than that now.
Yeah.
In those days, 210 was like, I'm a fat fuck. Oh, my God. I was walking around at 185, 119, 195. I go up to 219. Oh, my God. What am I thinking? What am I doing to my waistline and shit? And I was eating those salads. But I would buy iced tea with extra lemon and put 20,000 of those sugar packages in it.
Oh, really?
And that kills you.
Yeah.
That fucking kills you.
Fuck. That's a lot of weed you were smoking. Because I'm really high right now. I was just like, that's a lot of weed.
I'm telling you.
What do you like about weed? Like, what draw you to it? Drew you to it?
When I was a kid, I did not like it. And then, I think the first time I smoked was probably like in the sixth grade. And I remember feeling guilty as fuck. But the kids that smoked it in that time were fun kids. Like, you had a good time when you got high. You really, genuinely had a great fucking time. Like, you giggled and listened to music and you cracked on each other. And there'd be 16 people. Can you imagine 16 of us high in one room cracking jokes?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And giggling. And we were 12.
Did 11. You get high the first time? I didn't.
You know, I don't remember how long it took, but after a while, we would get a nickel bag from Nelson, the pervert.
Of course.
Listen to him fuck. And we'd get like a glass pipe and we'd smoke you'd put the joint in the glass and you'd light it.
Yeah.
And it would have a carburetor. And we'd each take hits and we'd go back. We do this in between classes. So from 12 to 1, that lunchtime,
yeah,
we'd smoke that, go to ShopRite, get lunch, and then go back to school at 1, and we'd be fucking stoned all afternoon. That was a blast. But I only did that with the North Bergen kids. I didn't do that with my karate buddies. My karate buddies didn't get high, so I had to keep it a secret.
Okay.
So I would get high once a month. But to answer your question, when I was 17, I had a buddy, Mike, that worked at the Sporting Goods. And he used to get the best weed that anybody else would get. Like anybody else, in those days, we were getting like just like green weed or whatever. He would get chocolate Thai weed. And in those days, if you paid 20 for a big bag, you paid him 35 for maybe an eighth or a half eighth. And you took it home and you cut it with a scissor and you rolled it in a joint. And oh my God, Lee, you smoked 3 pops of this and it was just sensational. You were stoned, Lee. You'd put on Judas Priest, Hell Bent for Leather.
Oh no.
And you'd fucking sit there and just look at each other. And after that, you walked to a diner and got a cheeseburger deluxe with French fries and mozzarella cheese on your fries and you drank sodas.
That sounds amazing.
And you'd walk home and you'd still be fucking high. You couldn't go in the house because your mom was still awake. So you'd sit outside and you'd giggle for another hour. That was getting stoned. Or getting high and going home and listening to that album you just bought. With the enthusiasm, Lee, like a new toy. Like getting a new girlfriend eating her pussy for the second time. Because the first time you slipped, you didn't stick a finger up your asshole. Whatever the fuck you're into. It's like that first time. That's what Plus, I tell you, the most that attracted me, the most obvious choice that attracted me for reefer,
yeah,
it made me go to sleep with no drama. I've always had some form of fucking insomnia. And this is legitimately, this is not for a license, this is not to lie to the people at home. I'm talking to my little brother, Lee Syatt, on the podcast. The truth of the matter is, when I was 17, I figured out that whenever I smoked pot and I ate, I'd go to sleep. No Fuck questions yeah. asked. Go to sleep hard. Like, wake up 6 hours later with the pillow turned and your T-shirt over your head and you ask yourself how, and then you take your T-shirt off and you move the blanket and go to sleep for another 3 hours. That's what marijuana did to me naturally.
Yeah.
So when I thought I was losing marijuana, like, if I didn't have weed, I'd stay up till 5 a.m. in those days.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Just stay the fuck up. And that's what attracted me to it, to be honest with you. Booze made me go to sleep, but a different sleep.
You wake up early.
It made me eat fucked up. It made me burp all night. I had to get up and pee. I woke up with a fucking headache. All this to fall asleep. So all I got to do is take 3 hits off a joint, eat a cheeseburger deluxe, and I sleep 8 hours like a fucking soldier.
Yeah.
That's what really attracted to me. Edibles put me to fucking sleep.
Fuck yeah.
I'm not going to lie to anybody at home. I love edibles because it hits me like a fucking left hook. I go home, I get some coffee, I take 2 hits off a joint. Ooh, baby.
That's crazy. So is it your favorite? Is weed your favorite drug?
My all-time favorite.
Really?
That's why.
They're coming for us.
That's why I still do it today. That's why I still enjoy
it. It's like the only one you really do. Every once in a while I do mushrooms.
Oh, my God. Yesterday I went to work out with Dave. I got back at... The workout was at 10. I probably got back at 10 to 12. I had to go to Hollywood for a fucking audition, which you might have to put on tape for me tomorrow.
Okay.
I didn't know where the place was. I went to the wrong place. I parked on La Brea, I had to walk two blocks, like, off La Brea. Oh, you know how Hollywood is? There's no fucking parking. I went to that side of town. I get there, and I'm like, is this the place? They're like, no. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I called the place. Nobody answered. So I had to get in my car. I come home. I get home. I smoke two pipe loads. And I'm sitting outside there, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to take a nap. And I slept for two. And then before that, I ate the 250 milligram. It was a 500 milligram anti-Dolores brownie, and I ate the top of it off, and I threw the bottom of it away just because it has the vanilla whatever on top.
Okay, and frosting.
And then when I got up, it was nothing. I wasn't high. Oh, maybe I fell asleep because of the choke bounty. Was I fucking wrong? Holy skadoodle! I fucking was high as fuck. At 7:30, yeah. My wife kept asking, what is your problem? You're sitting there staring into the abyss. Whatever the fuck. Abyss, I'm sorry. I said abyss. I called Lee. I'm like, we're going to do a podcast. Call me back in an hour. Lee called back. What are we going to do? I don't know, Lee. They called me back in an hour. I was fucking out of it. I basically passed out. When I got up at 3 in the morning to pee last night, I was like, oh, my God, I passed the fuck out tonight.
Hell, yeah.
That's why I like marijuana. That's the real... real truth. It There's really two does reasons. Yeah. The first reason is the sleep issue.
Yeah.
And the second reason, honest to God, is how good music sounds. Where's fucking Tony Bennett? What's Let's going on?
Wait.
Monday, December 15th. You have 8 days to make it happen, motherfuckers.
Why only 8 days? Don't come crying.
Because then you want to be set by the 29th, 24th. You want all your shit. You want to be a bum be like me. Two.
Pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart as
I. You need to get Tony Bennett on the podcast.
How are you going to get him on the fucking podcast?
I don't know. Tweet at him. He probably has an intern tweeting.
What am I going to tell him? I want to be around. Is your, my favorite fucking jam. Come on, do the podcast with me and the Flying Jew.
Hell yeah.
Don't you remember me? I opened for you in 1995.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You never told that story?
By mistake. I went to Joey's with Ed Belasco, booked it in Dearborn, Michigan.
A club named Joey's?
Yeah, it's named Joey's. And every year he does the Fox Theater or whatever the theater is there. I don't mean to. I think it's the theater there in Dearborn. And he would go over to Joey's to eat afterward, the spaghetti and meatballs. And he would sing a few songs. And I got to town, called him. I was there a night early. I was going to sleep in the parking lot. And he told me that go to the hotel, register, tell him you're the comic. I'll pay you $50. Do you have a suit? And I said, yeah. And I went and bombed. But I got $50 and a free night in the hotel that I wasn't going to have, usually.
Did you stay for the concert?
I stayed for the three song. I went over and thanked him. He shook his hand. But I didn't talk about this.
Did he sing I Want to Be Around?
No, he's saying, you know, I left my heart in San Francisco, some other fucking jam.
That's crazy. Long time ago.
You know, I've been trying to write the book.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to write this chapter, and it really, I had no value on this part of my life. I never really put a value on it. And it started in 97. I had no value on this part of my life. I never really spoke about it. And the other day I was doing comedy and I was talking to somebody on the road. The last time I was on the road, and I was saying that he was asking me about doing comedy. He was a feature act.
Okay.
And I told him when I became a feature act how much I worked. That when I came here, I was a decent feature act. I'm not going to lie to anybody. A feature act is the second comic you see at a comedy club. And he usually does 25 minutes, 30 if he's really good. And I would do 25. And I was decent on the scale of 1 to 10. I rated myself a 6. And I moved to Los Angeles. And at the time I moved to Los Angeles, I was a 4.5. And I went to the improv one night and I died in between Nick DiPaolo and somebody else, Doug Stanhope. I followed Doug at the Black Show and I died. But there was another incident I followed, either Dave Attell. Between Nick DiPaolo and I didn't do bad, but I saw how bad my flaws were. So I called around and I put myself on the road. And in those days, I would take a bus to El Paso. And El Paso was, in those days when I first moved here, I probably went to Bakersfield. We always went to up north. Jesus, Lee, I don't even go up there no more.
Why?
I used to go up north all the time. Bakersfield, San Bernardino, all that stuff up there. I forget, the Visalia, all that up there. You stop at the Tremendous Tacos. It's very Mexican-orientated, all the way up. Fresno, we would do that theater. In those days, you worked a lot of that, but the only outside club I worked was, this is 97, was El Paso. El Paso paid $300, and you had to take a bus down there, you know? And I think after the first time, he made me a feature act. And I hooked up with this guy, Roger Paul, out of New York. And I went on the road. I basically go, fuck it, I'm going to go on the road. And I took all these bookers' names, and I would take a bus to El Paso. El Paso would start first. But before that, I want to turn it back. I got a job selling screws at a place on Ivar.
Like?
In Hollywood, screws.
So you screw into the wall?
Screw into the wall. And I would, this was the spring of 97. And what I did was, I took a job and you had to be there at 5 in the morning. Wow. Because at 5, it's 8 in the East Coast. And that's when you could sell screws to people in offices. And like people in that own construction companies. Yeah. That's when the people who buy that stuff. It's wholesale screws, but you got to buy 10,000 of them. So if you're an electrical company, you'll buy those. You know, those type of screws, Phillips head, regular screws, 1-inch by 3, galvanized, whatever the fuck it was. And I would basically go to the store till 2, do a little blow, and drive to Ivar and park out in front of Ivar and sleep till about 10 to 5. And I'd go in, I'd drink some coffee, I'd smoke some pot, and I'd go in there and sell screws and shit. But what I was doing was faxing my avails to different comedy clubs and different bookers. So I was working, I would work, I would sell shit, I would work for them, and then once 9 a.m. came, I would fax my avails for the year to Roger Paul, to some guy in Florida, some guy in D.C., some guy in Boston, and that's how I started, Lee, and I would just fax them. And nobody would fucking call me back. Nobody would even give a fuck. You know, there's people now that you email and they have fallouts. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of comics that listen to this, and I'm just telling you that this was a hard time. And I remember I strung something together. Like, I strung El Paso and, like, a one-nighter in Houston. That's how it started for me. And once I put myself out there, then the call started coming. Hey, I have a Thursday and Friday in Florida and only pay $600. And the plane ticket would be $2. Fuck it, I'd go. I'm going to pick up $400. I'm in the hotel room. And you know what? Sunday, I'll figure it out. After the weekend, I'll figure it out. And sure enough, I went to Florida, and the guy's like, there's a guy in Gainesville that has a Friday and Saturday. You could stay with me. I'll get you $150 on Thursday at the one-nighter. Boom, let's go. And I did that. Then that guy told me about a room, and then Roger Paul called with Myrtle Beach. It was short money, but I was somewhere for 4 days. I could do laundry. I could eat, and that's how it started. I put myself out there. And within 6 months, I was basically going to, and shitty money, Lee.
And so you didn't come back to L.A.?
No. I would just stay out there. I would take the winter jacket, one pair of sneakers, and I would worry about clothes on the fucking road. And all I needed was a notebook, cigarettes, and weed. And I'd pick up the coke as I traveled. So I would take the bus for $35 to El Paso.
Yeah.
Do the 4 nights, pick up $500 in El Paso, take a bus or a flight for $200 to Miami. Go to Miami. Do the 2 weeks there, pick up $1,200, snort $800 of it, take $400 and take a flight to Myrtle Beach. Do the week in Myrtle Beach, pick up another $350, go to fucking D.C., pick up $200 there at whatever the fucking club was, but in Bethesda, Maryland, that would pay me like $300, and then one in Tyson's Corner would pay me like $500. Then from there, I'd go to the city and I'd stay with my buddies and do something in the middle of New Jersey for no money. Get embarrassed, just I would stay on my buddy's balcony in those days, and I'd eat his food, and he loved me, and I'm still friends with him. His dad just passed away, Mike Askley's. I'm going to put it out there for him. I send him my love to his father. God bless his soul, and he would take care of me. And then from there, I'd go to Boston and go to...
Hookie Lounge?
go to, I would go to the, not the Hooky, I would go to Club 56 in Andover, Mass.
I never even heard of it.
And then from there, I would go, they don't do comedy no more. At that time, it was big. And then on, and I would stay the whole week at the hotel. He'd pick up two of the nights, and I'd pay for two of the nights. You know, and then I'd do Worcester the next weekend. And then from there, I'd go to, where's the other kid from? What else is up there? Maine.
Yeah.
I go to Maine, and I do that weekend up there. And then from there, I'd go to, oh, I'd go to Buffalo, and I'd do the Funny Bone in Buffalo. This is 15 fucking years ago. And then from there, I'd go, my friend's dad, Irish, was dating an Italian girl from Buffalo. He called her dad to drive me over the border. This was way before 9/11. And he would sneak me into Canada. And I'd go up to Toronto and do 2 weeks at that Comedy Land. Hollywoodville? Yeah, it was Comedy Land or something like that, like to compliment. And we'd go to Bloor Street, and I'd do blow and fuck around. Oh, it was tremendous. Go to the Cuban neighborhood. Go to Chinese food in Toronto.
So how long would you be on the road for?
6-7 months. Taking notes the whole time. Writing jokes every night. Getting fucked up. Waking up in the morning.
Is that what
going to a club broke.
Yeah.
Getting to a club broke, Lee, and going, hey, before I even start the week, let me get 100 to get the party started. I got a kid waiting for me with weed. The DJ's got weed. I got a bag of blow downstairs. I got to do laundry tomorrow. I got to get a calling card. And it was the education of my life. And Lee, where I'm telling you, like, I'm on, and then I would go to Syracuse. And I'd do Buffalo, Syracuse, and Rochester. And I picked up a girlfriend in Syracuse that had a fucking landscaping company. And I would do work just around her house. Just around that neighborhood, the Ontario Theater that just recently closed, I would do Toronto. But on the weeks, instead of getting a hotel, I would go to Syracuse and help her, and she would pay me. And then during the week, this was an education for me.
I know you have enough with this book, but this sounds like a book. This is pretty cool.
This was Comedy 101. A lot of people, I always feel bad for comics, and I go to them, you know, you should come on the road with me, whatever. This was a time when nobody was helping me. I was friends with Joe Rogan, but he was just taking Chris McGuire then. He was just finishing up Fear Factor. And Joe had gotten mad at me over the incident at the Las Vegas Riviera when the guy said I ran up the phone bill in those days, and I always had a calling card. He just always never really liked me after that, so Joe always had doubts. Joe's still my friend, but he took Chris McGuire out. So I was still going on the road. I didn't give a fuck who don't take me on the road. You know me, dog. And I had also picked up Houston at that time. I had also picked up, there was a different place in Austin, not the, not even the place, because now in Austin you have the place where you went with me, the Cap City. City. But then there's the other place that's also great, that's downtown, that's a smaller place. In those days they had a little country place outside, like they did barbecue.
Okay.
And at night you did comedy for like 300. So I would go to Texas. So I would go to El Paso, Houston, Dallas, maybe Midland, maybe Odessa, maybe, you know, all these off cities. And then I'd fly out of Houston, hitchhike overnight, take a bus overnight all night, and take like a cheap flight for me to Dallas or San Antonio to Boston and start that tour all over again.
Is that why you get mad when like comedians, like say they're going to weddings or they don't have work? Cause that's pretty crazy. I don't think I knew all that.
I did nothing. From 97, I stopped doing that in April of 2004. 2000.
3 years.
2000. And don't get me wrong, I did not stop touring after that. I just tamed it down. But if you get my wife in here to set that microphone, she will tell you that from 2000 to 2005, I still went on the road 25 weeks, and the cocaine was making me cancel 3 or 4 of those weeks. I would get too paranoid to get to the airport and shit, and I wouldn't leave, and I'd call a cab, make believe I was sick, I got kidnapped by aliens, whatever the fuck. But I was still doing 20 weeks, and on the holiday weeks, I didn't believe in holidays. I would leave here on the 20th, I would miss Gabriel's party, and I would leave and go to Houston, Texas. He was the first guy to headline me, and I would stay there for 2 weeks. I'd leave on the 20th, I would come back on the 30th, 31st in the afternoon, then I would do New Year's with Rogan. So I wouldn't see Terry till the 1st. I would leave, and I would miss her birthday every year purposely, and I'd bring her back some fucking gift from Houston. J. just so I wouldn't have to. But that's what comedy meant to me. Like, this was always something you had to fight for. When I committed to this, I committed to this. And it was because when I left Boulder in 95, I knew that if I left my daughter, I couldn't come back hit. You know, I had to come back with something or another. I'm happy I stuck it out. You know, I'm very happy I stuck it out. I'm very fortunate. But this is why I said this podcast isn't about fucking busting out Hollywood stars or whatever. This is about us busting ourselves out. You know, this is what you have to do sometimes. And that's why I committed to it. I didn't know no other life. All I knew was to buy underwear, music. I had a CD player in those days. I would switch CDs. And I would buy books. And I just read books at Barnes and Nobles. And the rest of the money went to cocaine and the buses. I went all across this country on a fucking Greyhound bus, bro. And I would pick up work every week because then I started just getting with bookers. Once I got in with John Yoder in the Midwest, he had 61-nighters. So if you emailed him Monday morning at 9 and then called him at 9:30, 9:45, he'd give you something. You know Jody, who we just had Cuban food with a couple weeks ago? Her and I went out for 2 weeks, ended up staying out for 8.
Wow.
Because I kept picking up weeks in the wintertime. We started a triple run for 2 weeks in Seattle and Portland, Oregon. And we ended up in St. Louis, Missouri, back to Portland, Oregon, through El Paso, we picked up a fallout, into Miami for 2 weeks.
All in the car?
All in the car, except we parked the car in Houston and flew to Miami from Houston.
Okay.
So that's the kind of work you pick up once you commit to the work. Once you commit and you're out there, you'll pick up work. And I didn't invent this. I learned this from the great Doug Stanhope.
Really? That's what he did?
Yeah. Doug Stanhope got his car, packed it up, and got on the road. And that's it. Every city got a comedy club. Pop in there. How you doing? My name is Lee Syatt. I'd like to do a guest set here tonight. Okay. Where you crashing, man? In my car. No. Go to the comic condo. The headliner's staying at the hotel. You have the bedroom to yourself. Do laundry. And you're like, holy shit. You come back, you do a guest set, you're funny. Some fucking comic goes, hey man, what are you doing tomorrow night? You want to stay in town, crash in my basement, and do a night for $250? And there you go. You didn't expect to pick that up, but nothing would have happened unless you went to that comedy club.
Yeah.
Nothing would have happened unless you packed your car and believed in yourself.
Was it hard for you? Because I know you're not, I don't want to say antisocial, but you're not like a hangout kind of guy.
It became like stealing. It taught me so much about life. That I knew, but I didn't believe. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't believe that I would go to Rochester and where are you staying tonight? I got to drive back to Syracuse. Listen, man, come back up here Thursday and Friday. Open up here. We'll give you $200 and we'll book you in May. And you're like, oh, my God, you know. I would go to Detroit. I went to Detroit one time. I went to Saginaw. And I was supposed to be in Saginaw and Traverse City. You know, I'll just give you an example. I was supposed to be in Saginaw and Traverse City. And they only paid for the hotel Friday and Saturday. And I would have had to pay for the hotel Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. 5 fucking nights.
Yeah.
I could have found the hotel for $50 a night. But I just got paid $400.
Yeah.
So I'm eating veggie and cheese sandwiches from Subway Sandwich. That's why I love that sandwich, because I'll never forget that sandwich. That sandwich saved me on the road. It fed me.
Yeah.
If you get extra lettuce and you know the people, put extra tomatoes on it. It's not a bad sandwich. I remember being in Saginaw, Michigan, and a dude comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, that was funny as shit. You know, my brother-in-law lives up in New York City, and you remind me of him. And we started talking. Next thing you know, he's like, you want to smoke reefer? You went outside, we smoke reefer. He's like, you want me to give you a ride to the hotel? We went to the hotel. We sat in front of my hotel, talked shit. The guy was cool as fuck. He was married. He had kids. I went home. I didn't think nothing of it. The next night I went to the club. He was there. And he goes, hey, man, tomorrow morning, if you don't want to go back, I want to show you some hospitality. My wife's making, you know, some steaks, and you could eat. And I ate there. And while we were eating, they're like, listen, if you just got to go to Saginaw, if you're going to stay here, stay downstairs. Save the $200. You know, he gets lonely. So every night he come home from work, come downstairs. In the daytime, I listen to music and write jokes. He come home at 6, he play with his kid, and he come down and we just watch movies and shit. And he was like, you know, I don't have any brothers out here. He was from, like, Tennessee or something that was living. So you meet people. And for some reason, you just put a certain trust in them. When I would go to Boston, I'd stay with this big, fat security door guy that was married to a Puerto Rican chick. He was a big Irish white dude. And he was married to a Puerto Rican chick and had kids with her. So he knew I loved rice and beans. So he'd say, during the week, stay at the hotel, but during the week, stay in my basement. And my wife will make rice and beans for you. They live in San Antonio now.
Oh, cool.
You meet different people, Lee. And then when you go to that town, they look forward to seeing you, and they look forward to feeding you and cooking for you. It's really, it's a positive. It's the fucking, and don't get me wrong, I know many nights that I spent at the Utica, New York train bus station or the Rochester. You don't know what life is till you're in Buffalo waiting for a transfer at 4 in the morning. And it's February, and you got an hour and a half to kill, and the bus station is closed from 5 to 6. And you got to walk around Buffalo and get a newspaper, and you got $3 until you get to the next city. You have no idea what life is. It taught me a lot. It taught me fucking a lot. But it also made me that good of a comic. It made me that good of a fucking comic.
You think that's
comic.
What did it?
Oh, please. You get this belief. You get this fucking belief that you could do it. I made them laugh in Buffalo. I made them laugh in Rochester. I'm not good in the Bible Belt. I'm not good in the fucking Bible Belt. From Iowa to West Virginia.
You don't
Tennessee.
Really do those areas.
What's that?
Well, you did Tennessee, but you don't really do Oklahoma.
Because they booed me already. Why would you want to go somewhere where you're going to get bitch slapped? You're going to go somewhere where they pretty much, I mean, you know where you click and you know where you don't click after a while.
Yeah.
I used to do those. I told you when I went to the trailer and they gave me meth, that was in West Virginia. You know, where do you think these stories happen? Because every time I go there and I get comfortable, I'd ask somebody for powder, some type of powder. Hey, what's going on? Who's got the fucking yay? You know, and some nights, and I always got good powder. I never got robbed. And that night, I didn't get robbed. I just did meth. So what? You got to buy some speed every once in a while. Who gives a fuck, dog? What? Nobody did fucking speed in your house.
Oh, my God.
Let's give some shout-outs, and we'll continue this conversation. My main man, Sean Quirk, John Tate, Corey Gaetan, my man, Renee Encarnacion, coming out to visit, May Keniston, Stoner's Guide, and Death Squad everywhere. I love you motherfuckers. I haven't forgotten about you bad motherfucking death squads. I'll see you all across the country. Don't forget, this podcast goes live Wednesday night, the 17th, San Lazaro's birthday. Myself, Lee Syatt, and the rock superstar, Dean Del Rey, at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. Tickets are available. And New Year's Eve, I'm at the fucking Ice House with Lee Syatt doing some type of fucking podcast. What were you going to ask my brother?
I don't know.
No, it was interesting fucking journey. What?
Were you less dirty when you were being a feature act?
Depends where I was going, but I was always trying to be... If I went back a second time, they liked me. They liked me. Like, Toronto was a club that paid $600 to headline, so they couldn't get Bill Burr at the time. They couldn't get the big name, so they would use strong feature acts who had 40, 45 minutes. I would do an okay job then as a headliner. Not really. I did an okay job. I'm not going to lie to you. But at least it taught me how to stretch. You know, you went to Toronto, you had to stay. You did 2 weeks. You did 1 week in the city, but the other week you did this town like an hour away from Toronto, and you had to sleep at the mother's house downstairs in the basement.
What?
In a private bedroom with the brother right next door to you. And the brother drove hookers. At night, he was a fat dude that looked like Berkowitz, the guy who shot the 44 caliber killer. And at night, he would sleep in his room, and you'd hear him, and he'd come to you and knock. I got a black girl available for a half hour. You want to fuck her? No, get the fuck out of here. I mean, I ran into shit like that. I bumped into the girl who had the AIDS or whatever the fuck she had. What? She had gonorrhea.
The girl on the bus.
And the bus that she was escaping from Rochester to Syracuse.
Okay, I thought you were the health department. Really ran into a girl with AIDS.
No, and if I did, maybe I would. I don't fucking know. You know, you do whatever you do on the road. You know, when you get into music or comedy or anything, you think you're Willie Nelson. At least I did that. The Wanted Death or Alive video by Bon Jovi. That thing by Bob Seger. All those videos of life on the road. Mm-hmm. And those songs about life on the road. You know, at first they're cliche when you start watching them, you know, and you're out there. When you first get into comedy, I remember being at the Denver Comedy Works and being an open micer. And just sitting in the back in the green room, and they would be talking about, where's Jeff Todd Jordan this week? And they would say, he's on the road. You know, and if he was working for Tribble, they said he was tribbling. And I remember being an open micer and being so impressed when people said that. Like, oh, my God, you know, Todd Jordan's on the road. Or the other fucking guy's on the road or whatever, you know. And all of a sudden, I started going on the road. And you're not making any money, Lee. You're going on the road for peanuts. But you're not doing this because of the money. You're doing this because you know in the back of your heart you're learning. And you're going to be that much better of a comic someday. You know, you're going to be that much better because of these things. I think of one night in Buffalo where I had to go at this bar where the Buffalo Sabre game was on. And I had to go up in between at halftime.
You really did that?
And they just stared at me, Lee. They just stared at me. And towards the end, I got like two good laughs. Then the headliner went up, and he killed them. And that always stuck with me, that I got to get good enough to headline this room. And a year later, I went up there, and there was a playoff game, and I volunteered to go up there and kill, and I did. Those things like that, they measured where you were getting to in your life as a comic. But the life lessons, the people I met some great fucking people, Lee. I met some great people. I remember being in Baltimore one night and doing this benefit of some shit and talking to this couple for an hour and them going, listen, man, them leaving mm-hmm. and them coming back and going, listen, man, we don't know how to ask you this without sounding creepy. I'm like, oh, no, he wants me to go fuck her in front of him while he whacks off on my back. Or something disgusting, because he was kind of, she was superb looking, and he was, and I'm never forgetting this, and he was like mediocre, but he was a sweetheart of a man, so I could tell that he was either really rich or really had a big dick or something. And they came back and they said, listen, we know you're at this hotel, right? You said you're 3 miles from here. We live in a house, we have a warm bed, nobody will break into your door tonight, and we'll drive you to the bus station, and you can take the bus from Baltimore to New York. They have a 9 o'clock in the morning. We do it all the time. And I looked at them, and I'm like, okay. And I went back to the hotel. No, I never checked into the hotel. The bus I got into Baltimore was late. That's why I had my luggage. And I had to take a cab. And they said, no, we'll just drive you. And we went back to their place. They introduced me to their dog. They couldn't have kids or something. She was sick. And we smoked some pot. We went to bed. Next morning I got up, and I smelled bacon. I had bacon, I had some eggs, they were very nice, they drove me. I think I kept in touch with them, I lost their number. But who does that happen to? I wasn't a star, I wasn't doing movies then. I was living with Josh Wolf on his couch, paying him $100 a month to live on his fucking couch. They could have done anything they wanted to me, Lee. No, Lee, and I got 1,000 of those.
That's a cool documentary.
1,000 of those fucking stories. Being in Iowa and meeting people that just want to... I remember one time I was in Arlington. There used to be... What's the club in Texas? There's a Dallas Improv and Hyenas. Well, Hyenas used to have 2 or 3 clubs. And they hired me to do Wednesday through Sunday. And that Wednesday was Black Night. And I went up on Black Night thinking I was going to die, and I killed. And on the way out, this black family took me to their house and cooked for me. They weren't millionaires. This house looked like a fucking bomb ate it. I hate it. A bomb hit it. They lived in the projects, you know, and the black people outside out there all ganged up. In fact, there was a guy out there making pork chop sandwiches, Lee.
Just on the side of the road?
Lee, delicious.
I bet.
Fried pork chops on the side of the motherfucking street, and you took your own white bread. So it was like a thing of white bread. You knew 1,000 black hands had been in there with crack on their fingernails. The guy did not give a fuck. If you bought a pork chop, you would stick your fucking greasy hands in there and get 2 pieces of white bread out. He would put the pork chop on the white bread, and you would bite into it and figure out where the bone was later. Once you heard your tooth crack, booyah, you hit the fucking bone. He didn't take it out. He gave you like a sauce, a thing of hot sauce. Again, you could see mud on the fingers and AIDS and shit and crack and fucking pussy juice, and you had to put hot sauce on your fucking pork chop, and that's how you ate it. And he barely gave you like a napkin. The napkin he gave you had his fingerprints on it that were fucking disgusting. But it was delicious. And I went to these black people's house, and they got me stoned on the worst weed everly. Like, 4 of us must have smoked 15 fucking joints, and we barely got high. We went outside, we bought the pork chop sandwiches, and they gave me a ride home. I've never forgotten that. Never forgotten that. They got me high. They were very funny. They enjoyed that I was Cuban. They could have mugged me, Lee. They could something made me trust them.
Did anyone ever do anything creepy?
One time I almost got mugged in Fresno.
How?
This black football coach used to bring us up there twice a year. Me, Felipe, Gabriel, Rudy, Martin Moreno, D. Militant, a couple black comics. Real cool guy. He paid you okay. And he'd either fly you up or you drive up with those guys, Rudy or whoever. And we did a gig one night. You know, I was buying drugs. You know, I'm not going to tell you I wasn't doing nothing. And after a show, I got involved with some Mexican gangbangers. With like dreadnought, those, you know, with those things in their hair, like Tom Segura put on the cover of his hair.
Cornrows?
White girls like cornrows. And they had tats and shit, and they had the cornrows, and we started talking. They started talking about blow, how they get it. You know, if cocaine was, and I didn't see it coming. This is the thing that you think that you're so cool, and you think you're Johnny Street, and I started talking to these fucking Mexican dudes. And all of a sudden, in all this, some black dudes pulled up with, like, that Denzel car on Training Day. Like, that same type of car. No bullet holes and nothing. And they got out, and we all started talking. So one thing led to the other. And they're like, well, he's looking for this. And they're like, all right, well, why don't we take him? And we just drop his ass off at the hotel after he gets his shit. You know, how much he want. And I'm like, so I didn't know what happened. I thought that the people I was with knew the Mexican dudes. All of a sudden, I'm getting in the car with the black people. And I'm in the back seat behind the driver. And we pull a little bit. And that's when I realized nobody's in this car that I know. These guys don't know me from fucking Adam Lee. And I'm like, what the fuck happened? And we drive like a mile or two, and there's a gas station. And I go, let's pull in there and get some sodas and stuff. And they're like, all right, G. So what type of numbers are you looking to get? You know, we need 200 just to roll down. And I'm like, no. That guy, we went to that gas station. When I pulled in that gas station, the coach that booked those rooms pulled up. He goes, hey, let me holler at you for a second. He goes, dog, we got to get in your car. Well, what the fuck are you doing with these guys? If you need something, I'll get you something. He goes, these guys will rob you. Come on. And we got the fuck out of there. And that was the closest I ever came.
Fuck. That's scary.
But that was my fault for doing drugs. See, and every time I did that room, I always got the drugs there. Again, sometimes one night I was with Rodrigo and Felipe.
Yeah.
And I got a bag of meth there. And I started doing it, and I was fucked up. And Rodrigo, and I'm in Felipe's and Rodrigo's room, and I can't stop smoking cigarettes, and I can't stop talking. And I had to be honest with them. I said, I did some fucking meth, you know, what are you going to do? don't know if it
you
was
can't
speed.
Walk on one leg?
You can't walk on one leg. Sometimes you got to hit it from two directions. I'm not going to tell you I was fucking drug-free 10 years ago. I did whatever came along. You have a little speed some nights? Fuck, it's been a while. I'm like fucking, what's his name? It's been a while. What the fuck?
I don't know.
You got to do a little bit of fucking yay from time to time. I wouldn't do it anymore. I wouldn't know what to do now, lady. Do you know that?
Really?
I wouldn't know what to do. And every 6 months, not that somebody asked me if I would do blow, but somebody asked me, what do I think? And I tell them, I go, I don't think anything. I think that if I ever did, I would die that night. I just think my mind and my heart would give up.
Have you ever been like, because I saw that Hunger Games with my mom today, and I was thinking about like what Philip Seymour Hoffman, after 20-something years of being sober, like what made him go back to it? Like, when you're mad or depressed, do you ever think maybe I'll do some coke?
Never.
No?
Never. Especially now with the baby. I know how much it would mean.
Yeah.
I know how much it would hurt my wife. It wouldn't even be... You know, for the first time, my life has a little value because of the baby and my wife and both of them together give you a little something. It's the first time I've been scared. You know, if you ever watched the end of that movie with... Richard Gere and Andy Garcia, Internal Affairs. It's a fucked up movie, but at the end, when he's dying, he goes, when you have kids, it changes you. It makes you do things you might not want to do or do before, you know? So I'm pretty, I don't know if I'd do drugs again. If anything, I would do a little bit of white heroin in a needle.
No, you can't do a needle.
Yeah, because I never did it at this point. I think if I did it with somebody cool and I looked the other way and put my iPod in and they shot my arm a little bit of heroin and then pulled some blood out and held it and then I just kept breathing and I go to my island, the Serenity, and they shoot me a little bit more, I think I'd just get high for a few hours. I would like that.
I think that's a lot worse than doing a little bit of coke. Isn't
no,
that terrible?
No. Some good, like a good Chinese guy. Like some Chinese,
a good one?
Yeah, like some
no,
dude
P.F. Chang's one?
No. Like some good Chinese guy in New York that brought it from Toronto. Something from, you know, something Chinese. They processed it very clean. Ooh, some fucking, you know, some white debt. Something with one of those names, some white debt. And it was had to be the like it had to be a professional. Like, listen, what would you shoot? Well, I do the whole bag, but I do it. All right, then give me a quarter of that. Just give me a tiny little beat. Mix it with some water and just blast me a little bit. Poke the arm, put on some Black Sabbath, and take it out. And then loosen it. And I would just to go nuts for 2 hours.
Is it supposed to be great?
It would fuck me up. It would take a guy like me where I need to be before the next journey.
You're not worried about getting addicted to it?
No, not one little tiny taste like that. In my arm with a needle, it's clean, Bobby.
Who's Bobby?
Bobby, like... Ooh, who shot that duck?
Andy DeLorus is crazy.
So what do you think? How you feeling, fine?
I'm super high.
No, you're not. You look good. You're conscious. It's clean. Andy DeLorus is putting out.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying
I spoke to somebody I gave it to, and they said, that shit took a leap up, Andy DeLorus products.
Yeah.
Took a fucking leap up. You're high right now, but you're not, you're not all goofy.
I'm getting there. Up.
No, you're not. You look good. You look healthy.
Thank you.
What else did you do with your mom? So you got a driver. What did you do these last 3 days? Think of what you have that I don't have. I don't have a mom. So... I'm very proud that you, we were goofing on her before she came. You're like, you get mad at me if I go? And you No. I want you to see your mom. What happened with your mom this week? How was it? How was the meeting of the Mexicans?
It was a little bit nerve-wracking, but it went well. Like, I was just nervous, because my mom, like, she's just the whitest. Like, I'm the whitest, and we're just, like, I just was nervous. But it went great. They really liked each other. We have went to dinner.
They're going to call each other every week?
No.
All right. Then. I can't speak. Fucking bullshit.
No, but like I was nervous. I was like, fuck. Like I had only introduced my mom to like one other girl before, I think, or maybe two. But no, it wasn't good. And then it was, that was fine.
You take it to a steakhouse. You show Artie Morton's your cheap
fuck. No,
no.
No. No, I did. We went out with my mom and I went and Paula and stuff. But my mom wanted to cook, so she cooked lamb that one night, which you hated.
And who went over there?
Just me and her. And what
night did Paula and her mom go over?
Just Paula came over one night.
What did she eat?
They ate. We got takeout that night.
What'd you get?
Chicken teriyaki.
What'd your mom think?
She liked. She got shrimp. It was good.
And then she goes tomorrow. Where'd you go yesterday? To the Museum of Natural Tolerance. History?
No, Tolerance.
And what'd you guys learn? You see a bunch of Jews screaming?
Pretty much. No, it was a fucked up experience. Like, we saw, we listened to Survivor speak. It was pretty...
Now, when you went there, how many people were in the museum?
A bunch.
Were there all Jews?
There were some Jews, but no, there's some, like, Mexican people and stuff. And there's a black family. A trio of black girls. And, No, it was... I had been to them in D.C. and Israel before. And I get really depressed. Like, I just am in a bad mood. Just, it really takes it out of you. This one wasn't that good because they had you follow, like, a weird fake conversation with some scientists. Like, looking at... Or historians, I guess. Looking at the Holocaust. But, like, the one in Israel is pretty terrible. And it's just... my mom wanted to go. And it made her happy.
Did you cry?
I got teared up a little bit. It's
Did your mom cry? Did you say an Israeli prayer?
No, we didn't say a prayer. I didn't say a prayer.
When you went home and broke the lamb, did you say a prayer before the lamb for these poor people that suffered?
I love lamb.
I know you do. You like all that shit.
She makes it with a little bit of mustard mixed with breadcrumbs. A little bit of mint jelly. She made homemade applesauce. Oh. I didn't even know she did that.
Come on.
Until this year.
And now, today, what did you guys do?
Today we went to Hunger Games and we went shopping.
Where'd you go see Hunger Games?
Burbank.
And you saved on the parking.
Yeah, fuck yeah. They didn't have it at the Lumley anymore. I would have seen it at the Lumley, but they didn't have it.
And then where else did you take it? You take it for dinner tonight?
No, she made, it sounds stupid, but one of my favorite things she makes is quesadillas. So she made those.
Your mom?
They're just American quesadillas. They're just tortillas and shredded cheese and some chicken. But
cheddar cheese?
Not cheddar. I think it's like the taco mix blend or something. It's good.
Why don't you just get the cheese in a package and really just put a dagger in my heart.
It is a package.
That white single stuff? No, like the Kraft single slices?
It's the shredded stuff in a bag.
And it's in the package.
It's in the package.
It's not the shit. It's not the single slices made by Kraft with the cancer.
No.
Next time you get that cheese, take it out of the wrapper and look at it.
I do get that.
You could smell the cancer. You could smell the chemotherapy.
I get the reduced fat version of it, too.
Do you really?
Yeah, because it's only 25 calories.
Don't come crying to me when your asshole's on fire, cocksucker. Let's read the fucking sponsors, right? Let's do that. Can you do that?
It's your job this time.
Now you get me all fucking pissed off.
I'll do it again at the end.
Fucking quesadilla. Jew flies 2,000 miles.
She likes it.
Quesadilla.
Yeah.
What do you make with it? What about the potato pancakes? What happened to those?
We had those. I have a bunch of those.
Where are they?
They're mine. You stay away from them.
Where are they?
My freezer.
What does she make them with?
Potatoes, onions, a little bit of garlic.
Do you put applesauce on?
And sour cream.
Oh, look at you. You're the last of the real Jews. Speaking of the last of the real Jews, fucking on it.
Who's Jewish?
The reports came back on Alpha Brain. I didn't read them, but it'd be interesting. Not yet. I just know they came back. I know they're favorable.
Yeah, the study.
I know that the study was that's been done before, and these numbers were off. And everybody, you know, talks great things about Alpha Brain. So there you fucking have it. On it. Like I say, listen. You go somewhere, let's say you go to a burger joint, the burger fucking sucks or the fries sucks. You don't need to go there no more.
No.
Why are they a fucking burger joint? On it, you start with fucking Alpha Brain. Plain and simple, the GPC Alpha Brain, go for it. Give it a try because you got 100% money back guarantee. We don't even want the fucking product back. You're probably sitting at home going, Joey, you attacked us the same way every fucking night because this is the way I would fucking attack it. What's their main product? Why would we go to product B if we haven't gone with the product fucking A and it's that good of a guarantee? From there, you go whatever. You go with the T formula. It raises your level of testosterone. You go with the MCT oil, the coconut oil. You can add it to your smoothies, add it to your salads. They have so many fucking different options for you on it. You want to go with the fucking the new mood. You want to go with the motherfucking shroom tech, the immune. You want some more energy. You go with the sport. They have so many different things to order you. Go to Onnit.com if you don't believe me, because I can't break them down the right way. I'm a moron. This is 22nd fucking century type shit. This is what the astronauts and NASA are going to be taking in fucking 3 years. Go to Onnit. Read through the pages. They also have kettlebells. They also have weighted vests. They have the power ropes, the battle ropes. You can choke your fucking self. Do whatever the fuck you want. But if you're going to be fucking walking around and trying to be the best you can, Onnit's going to help you. They have the supplements to take you to the next motherfucking level. How do I know? Because my memory is on fire with this alpha brain. It fucking helps you that much. When you write comedy, it helps you that much. Go to Onnit.com right now. I can't get you any deals on the fucking kettlebells, but as far as the supplements, I'll get you 10% off plus whatever sale they got. Plus, you go on the mailing list. They take care of you. Onnit.com. What do they press, dog?
Church.
Church. C-H-U-R-C-H. Get 10% off. If you want it sent to your house every month, ba-boom. There you go. You're going to Stay Onnit program. Bam, Lee. Don't be fucking cracking jokes, cocksucker. I'm trying to drop knowledge on these motherfuckers. So go to Onnit.com right now. Also, I've been getting a couple emails. IronDragonTV.com. Must I say any more? We all like smoking a few bongs, maybe doing a little fucking hash, maybe eating a couple spare ribs, and going home and watching a kung fu movie. There's only one channel that has them, and after 1 month, you're seeing the same movies over and over. Go to IronDragonTV.com. Dave Foley knows what the fuck he's doing. What do they press in the box?
Joey.
And what do they get, Lee?
Two free rentals.
Two free fucking rentals. Right off the bat. Like I told you, I don't show up here looking for dowage. I'm giving you a fucking deal. I'm giving you a sample. Go in there. See the movies they got. What do they got? They got the Ip Man series. You
went down there. Movies.
They got the Tai Chin movies. They got the Chow Yun fucking Fat. They got, Enter the Fat Dragon. These guys got Jackie Chan, the early shit, 1911. They got the Thieves. They got the Assassins. We ain't fucking around. And every day the library goes. It's a Roku. Tell them, Lee.
It's a Roku channel. They're going to have 30, like they said, like 30 new editions every month. And in the new year, they're going to start having 4K.
Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? You think I'd be telling you this shit if it wasn't a deal for you? So what do they get if they go to IronDragonTV.com? They press in what?
Joey.
And what do they get?
They get two free rentals.
Two, not one, two. Just so you look around, see what the fuck's in there, right? Please, go there right now. Stop fucking around. They got other titles coming. These guys are going to be rocking and rolling. You want to be right there with them right now. If not, I wouldn't have them on the fucking podcast. Dave Foley's a fucking savage. Hit these cigs. I'm smoking a cigar right now. It's December 15th. You're sitting there huffing and fucking puffing. How do I know? Because I've fucking been there. I've been there doing an 8-ball, drinking vodka, smoking fucking Camel Lights. Next thing you know, you're smoking your skinny fucking cigarettes. Next thing you know, you're huffing and puffing.
Virginia Slims?
Yeah. Next thing you know, you gotta go for a fucking walk. Your lungs are bad. So what do you want to do? You say to yourself, it's time to quit smoking. I'm spitting my fucking lungs out. I'm spitting blood out. But you know you can't do it alone. You're going to have to take one of those drugs, and they're suicidal, and depression, and blood comes out of your asshole. You have to take a class. Do yourself a favor. This is what you do. You start with a nice 24 milligram cigarette from Hitty Cigs. You say to yourself, on Monday, I won't smoke till after lunchtime. On Tuesday, I'll smoke till 3. On Wednesday, I'll smoke till 4. And in the morning, I'll start with Hitty Cigs. Within 2-3 weeks, you won't be fucking smoking no more. By that time, you'll be down to level 16 milligrams or 8 milligrams. In about a month or two, you won't be smoking at all. So what? You stay on these for 3 months. Just to break it. Someday, you replace it with the reefer, and this next thing you know, you're not smoking at all. You got to thank Hitty Cigs for doing this shit. They're number one. These fucking Hitty Cigs, they give you 1,200 puffs. Garen fucking tea come in different flavors. They also have a cigar. You can't beat this shit. Go to HittySix.com and press in.
Joey's Church.
Oh, shit! And what do you get?
20% off.
Like a motherfucker. 20% off. Not 10, 20. So if the thing costs 20, you get it for 16 fucking dollars. Why? I got to talk to you about this shit? Everybody wants to get healthy. I got to sit here and sell you this shit? Take a fucking chance. Take a chance. Columbus did. Go to HittySix.com right now. Get off the cigarettes permanently. Nailed It Life. You want to smoke your wax? You want to see the devil? Go to nailedatlife.com. Not that they got t-shirts. Have you been to Nailed It Life lately?
I have.
They're working on the fucking webpage. They're putting some shit together. Go to nailedithelife.com. Again, these guys are my fucking goombas. As far as the vapor pen, I've heard it from 1,000 people. It's the best in the fucking business. And what really makes my dick hard about Nailed It Life is that when you call them with a problem, they're right there, okie pokey. They take your fucking problem and they handle it. Customer service is going to be number one priority in 2015 and above. Everybody's got a good price. Everybody's giving a good service. But they got to answer the phone. You ever call somebody, they got the computer. If you're happy to call, stay on the fucking line and they play like some fucking Elton John movie that fags ain't even listening to no more. Fuck that shit. Who needs an aggravation? I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm stoned to the gills.
Yeah, your eyes are really shut.
My eyes are shut?
Yeah.
You know why, Lee?
Why?
Because I'm stoned to the fucking gills, just like you. Lee ate 30 milligrams.
I ate more than 30.
I ate about 2,000 milligrams, and that's the way the day ends, motherfuckers. So you're here. You're probably going to hear this Tuesday, December 16th. I love you, motherfuckers. Also, tomorrow's my last day on that film.
Awesome.
Tomorrow's my last day on that film. My call time is 8. I'll probably be out of there by 5 or 6 or 7. I'm very happy I did this. 7 days. You know, sometimes I'm driving, I'm like, man, I could use a couple of days on a set, you know, just to work that muscle. And then, you know, we're going to start doing a live podcast more in 2015. That's a complete different muscle. And then you have to do this podcast. That's a different muscle. So it's always different muscles you're working. So I don't get bored. That's what works for me. Lee always looks at me and goes, "You don't want to." I bring that camera with me everywhere. That fucking bloggy.
Yeah.
I can't do videos no more, guys. Why? Because we outgrew it. That's it. You want me to go to Kmart and goof on fucking people with fucked up hairdos and shit?
Funny.
And beep at people and tell them to move the fuck over. I hate all that shit.
You do that all the time.
I know. I do it for free though. I don't have to do it on camera because I gotta be an asshole. I don't have to do it on the spot because I have to. I have to be driving, minding my own business. And some jerk goes crossing the street, one of those homeless carts, when I'm doing 90. I gotta stop. Fuck you, cocksucker. You just stop on your own time. God, I dare you. I dare you to get in the fucking street. Thank you for watching the church tonight. You got 10 days to Christmas. I think the 16th Hanukkah starts for all the Jews. You know I love you with all my heart. One of my best fucking goombas in the world is the baddest motherfucking Jew out there. So what time you gotta get up and take your mom tomorrow?
I think like 5 a.m.
You gonna sprinkle a little cookie in a sandwich? You wanna take one of these fucking?
No, God. No.
You didn't even try to get a high. Lady.
Never.
You are. She was.
She would hate it.
She would.
She
no.
gets drunk on half a margarita. No.
So what, Lee? You would have taken a little bit of a brownie and put it on her sandwich.
That would have killed her.
No, it wouldn't, Lee.
Oh yes, it would have.
She would have got high and said, "Ma, what happened? Oh my God, Ma, you didn't eat that. No, Ma. Ma, you didn't eat that. That had marijuana in it. Why? Because." That's how I lose weight. You could have a story or whatever. You gotta have fun with your mom. We gotta dose it tonight.
No.
Let's give her like a brownie.
She's way asleep.
How do you know?
Because she was asleep when I left.
Was she really?
What she's time? Just taking a nap. I went to the gym at like 6.
Well, fucking let's go back there and tell her you got a brownie. Leave it on the thing. And let's see if she takes a little bite.
No, she would never do that.
And then fuck the flight at 5. Who gives a fuck? Let her stay another day. You like her, right? Is that her?
No, it's a reminder.
What's the reminder? Stick your finger up your asshole.
So she remembers her ice pack.
Huh?
She gets headaches, so she brings an ice pack.
Who?
My mom.
I gotta go. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. We'll be back Thursday morning with a live podcast and another Ustream one maybe Thursday night for you motherfuckers. Have a great show. I want to thank my sponsors again, Honored.com. IronDragonTV.com, HittySigs.com, NailedItLife.com. I want to thank all you bad motherfuckers that listen, from Lady J to Ookie Spooky, you sexy bitch. And we'll see you in Austin or wherever the schedule is for 2015. For right now, we'll see you Wednesday night at the Long Beach Laugh Factory or New Year's Eve at the Ice House. Stay black, bitches. What's the music, Lee?
It's Pat Benatar.
Well, fucking play it.
Well, no, I have to do that.
Well, hurry up, cocksucker. You got me all sweating here.
You got me sweating. This show is brought to you by Onnit.com. Use code word church to get 10% off of any of their great supplements like Alpha Brain and New Mood. Show is also sponsored by HitEsigs.com. Use code word Joey's Church to get 20% off. Better tasting, longer lasting, the proof is in the vape. E-cigarettes and e-cigars. Go to Iron Dragon TV and use code word Joey to get two free rentals of martial arts movies on the Roku channel, Iron Dragon TV. And go to naildatelife.com and use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off of the premier vapor pen for oil and wax smokers.
Chill.